بالإسلام دينا.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سلام عليكم dear brother and sister. Welcome. This is today's special from IRIB English Radio. Thank you very much for choosing this program to listen to, where we're going to speak about living a blessed life.
My life is not the same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist.
You are the light.
You guides me through my darkest night. Shows me right from wrong in a world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone, anything in life, but you. No, I don't need anyone to show me my way. No, I don't need anyone but you.
Today's Monday, 17th of Jamadi Uthani, 1447 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri Calendar. Corresponding to the 17th of the month of Azar, 1404 of the solar calendar, and the 8th of November, 2025 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is chapter An-Nisa, verse 81. We'll listen to it, we'll come back to the studio and speak about the meaning of this verse.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. ويقولون طاعة فإذا برزوا من عندك بيت طائفة منهم غير الذي تقول والله يكتب ما يبيتون فأعرض عنهم وتوكل على الله وكفى بالله وكيلا.
And they say, we pledge obedience. But when they leave you, a group of them spend the night determining to do other than what you say. But Allah records what they plan by night. So leave them alone and rely upon Allah. And sufficient is Allah as disposer of affairs.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
In this verse, the Quran has pointed to the situation of some hypocrites. It says that when they come beside the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, they harmonize with others and express that they obey the command of the Holy Prophet. But when go out from the presence of the Prophet, they neglect their promises, and in their night meetings they make some decisions against the Holy Prophet. Yet Allah commands his messenger to turn aside from them with no fear. His order not to rely on them in his affairs, but to trust only in Allah, who is the best assisting helper and protector.
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. Nawarta darbi, shukran. Shukran ya Rabbi,
shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. نورت دربي شكرا شكرا يا رب يا منزل القرآن يا خالق الإنسان يا رب يا رحمن شكرا يا رب.
We're gonna speak about living a blessed life. How often has a long life brought about so little? And how often has a short life brought about so much? If someone's life is blessed, he will attain in short time bounties from Allah that cannot be expressed in words or comprehended in descriptions. In Islamic terminology, there is a lot of attention given to what is called barakah or blessing. Blessing is denied as the divine good displayed in something. When we invoke Allah's blessings in something, this means that we would have favorable results due to the divine blessing.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear brothers and sisters, today we have another topic to discuss about. If life is a blessing, are we looking at the life as a blessing? So let's have a look at the Quranic perspective of the meaning of life, or what life is, if it is a blessing or not. In the Holy Quran, the word life or hayat is used 76 times. The concept of life in the Quran includes all living beings. In 5 verses of the Holy Quran, that term hay or living is attributed to Allah Himself as well. The word life is used in various ways in the Quran. Some of its usages correspond to the literal meaning of the word, such as mahyai or my life, or ahya, that is the living, and other forms of this word. Sometimes the word is used metaphorically, such as attributing life to dead earth, which means the growth of plants in the earth. Furthermore, in some verses, the Quran corrects people's views about life by presenting new dimensions and deepening the concept of life as a divine blessing. Thus, in the Holy Quran, life encompasses more than just physical movement and daily activities. It includes, for example, in Surah Al-An'am, verse 122, and Surah Al-Anfal, verse 24, that following the truth and believing in Allah is a life-giving factor, leading to guidance, making one alive, while disbelief is considered death. For this reason, in Surah Al-Fatir, verse 22, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to believers as living, that is ahya, and the disbelievers to the dead, that is al-amwat.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, in your hearts. A day you'll always remember every part.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
Now, how we can attain the good life and blessed one? Spending time in isolation with Allah can be one way. Of course, it's a part of the way. This includes reciting the Quran with reflection, or tadabbur, dhikr, or supplication with reflection, or tafakkur, talking to Him, to Allah, intimately in heartfelt or dua, and combining all in salah or prayer with humility and full focus. This has a deep impact on strengthening our connection with Allah and increasing love for Him. Indeed, the beloved of Allah are those who have inherited the good life and tasted its bliss due to conversing privately with the Lord and experiencing the sweetness of His life in their heart. are speaking about barakah or blessed life. So what actions increase barakah in our life? Barakah in time means having the same 24 hours in a day as everyone else, but being able to get more out of it. In era of productivity hacks, shortcuts, and instant gratification, the believer seeks barakah in time in order to get more out of life, even if one's lifespan itself is shorter than average. For students, barakah in time is the ability to get more studying done with less time. For professionals, it is the ability to fulfill one's work responsibilities while having the time to excel and do more. For parents, it is the experience of raising one's children with more benefit in their overall development. Some scholars had so much barakah in their time. It's as though they finish in a day what it would take others a week to accomplish. One way to seek more barakah in time is to sincerely ask Allah for it consistently and to use one's time wisely. A second way to seek barakah in time is to specifically utilize the morning time.
Recent studies have explored how gratitude relates to meaning in life throughout adulthood. Findings suggest that individuals who habitually experience gratitude also report a stronger sense that their lives are coherent, purposeful, and significant. This holds across different ages, indicating that gratitude may be a resource for existential well-being in both youth and later life. So all in all, if life is seen as a blessing, many traditions insist that it is also a trust that comes with responsibilities. This can be understood on several levels: caring for one's own health and mind, nurturing family and friendships, working honestly, and contributing to the common good. The blessing of life includes talents, opportunities, and time, all of which can be used wisely or wasted. Thinking of life as entrusted rather than owned outright can change attitudes towards decisions like self-harm, reckless behavior, or neglect of others. It suggests that people are stewards rather than absolute masters of their lives, accountable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to conscience, or to the moral community for how they use what they have been given. This stewardship perspective links personal spirituality with social ethics.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode of today's special, which in that way speak about a blessed life and the ways, of course. Follow us. Thank you and fi amanillah.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyul Imami, Lafata illa Ali, Aliyul Imami. علي إمامي علي إمامي
لا إله إلا الله الله ربي
محمد نبي علي إمامي
لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي
Talk it down, turn the other way. Feel the truth. but it won't go away. Can you hear it calling? Yeah, you can write it down, but nobody cares. It's an untold story of our biggest fears. It can reach you with no warning. Yeah, yeah. When the sun there's a part of me that won't understand, having sleepless nights with my head in my hands. I'm here and tears are falling, yeah. If I could right the wrongs, would you lend me your hand? I would make a difference to this beautiful land. If I'm nothing, I have my intention. When the sun goes down and there's nothing left around, can you feel it? Can you feel it? When your knees are on the ground, you may fear, but it's allowed. Are you listening? 'Cause I need forgiving. I need forgiveness.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Yearning for your cure, this humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You are listening to the program Hadith of the Day on Iran Radio with Sheikh Danish.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Dear listeners, salam. And welcome to this episode of the Hadith of the Day. Today we reflect on a profound teaching of Imam Baqir alayhi salam. He is quoted to have said, enjoining good and forbidding evil is the path of the prophets and the way of the righteous. It is a great obligation through which other obligations are upheld, rights are protected, and livelihoods are purified. Injustices are corrected, the earth flourished, and enemies are repelled, and societies find stability. So this is all about the great effects of enjoining good and forbidding evil, or amr bil ma'ruf and nahi anil munkar. So this hadith reminds us that commanding good and forbidding evil is not a side duty. It is the backbone of a healthy community. So what are they exactly? Because there are many misunderstandings, misconceptions that have happened in societies, even Islamic societies, about these two, because they are not done correctly. But when done correctly, for example, amr bil ma'ruf builds trust and justice in society. For example, when people stand up against unfair business practices, it protects the dignity of workers and ensures fair trade. studies in modern sociology confirmed that communities where members hold each other accountable respectfully and wisely tend to have lower crime rates and stronger cooperation. Simply put, when good is encouraged, good multiplies. But Imam Baqir alayhi salam's words also carry a hidden warning. This duty must be practiced properly. Unfortunately, throughout history, some extremists and fanatics and ignorance have misused forbidden evil to impose their narrow interpretations, sometimes even with violence. This is not the prophetic way. The Quran itself says, call to the way of your Lord with wisdom and beautiful preaching. Without wisdom, this duty can cause more harm than good. It can push people away from religion, create division, and even justify oppression. The thing that it has come to remove. Another key point is priorities. Not all wrongs are equal. For example, a society may suffer more from corruption, dishonesty, or oppression than from small personal mistakes. If we spend our energy scolding minor issues while ignoring injustice, we lose the spirit of this great obligation. Imam Ali Salam reminded us that the most important forbidden evil is speaking truth to unjust rulers. That requires courage, wisdom, and strategy, not fanaticism. So let us carry this responsibility with humility, knowledge, and mercy. That is how we honor the legacy of the prophets and build a society that truly thrives. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
You just listened to the program Hadith of the Day on Iran Radio with Sheikh Danish.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
This is the Heart of Life pounding. IRIB English Radio.
They say that a barking dog doesn't bite. But Mr. Donald Trump, if I may use the metaphor, has been barking at Mexico for quite some time. Could we be on the verge of witnessing military invasion of Mexico by the Americans? So buckle up, because this is today's journey on Gringo.
Secretary of State saying that we're very close to a deal in the Middle East.
We've been talking about this popping up more, so we won the first world war.
Is he a Mexican American that is offended by?
Do you think the United States could militarily invade Mexico? Let me tell you about a Mexican politician who once governed the state of Nuevo León, Alfonso Martínez Domínguez. He used to say that the virtue of a politician is not to solve problems, but to create them. This is something the United States excels at. They have created problems and false flag operations to invade countries. The same was done with Mexico in 1846. They lied to invade Mexico and take away more than half of its territory. The question is, beyond economic warfare, cultural warfare, and the colonization of mines, could it be possible for the United States to militarily invade Mexico?
Since the beginning of the year, Trump has targeted Mexico with thousands of weapons. His army is at the border under the pretext of stopping migration. Then he targeted from the sky, threatening with drones and air force to bomb Mexican territory, claiming it was to stop and eliminate drug traffickers. Recently, the U.S. Navy has been present in the Caribbean Sea, which also borders Mexico. Most recently, the assassination of a mayor was used to demonstrate that Mexican security forces have been unable to control the criminals. And then, national protests from a so-called Generation Z demand justice for that mayor and call for the head of the Mexican government. A protest where the Mexican right wing invested a lot of money. What's brewing in Mexico? Music to Trump's ears.
Would I launch strikes in Mexico to stop drugs? It's okay with me.
What's brewing in Mexico? Destabilization. Invasion. Chaos.
I have as a guest the foreign media correspondent here in Mexico, Raul Torres, whom I warmly welcome. Raul, it's such a pleasure to see you again and to have you here on Gringo. And we have a satellite connection here with Samuel Cruz Trujillo, a historian and analyst with an excellent YouTube channel, author of several books, and also a Mexican who lives in La Paz, Bolivia, to ask him about this topic. I'm really glad to have you back here at Gringo. Samuel, a big hug.
Thank you for inviting me. It's a pleasure.
I'm going to start here with Raul Torres. I've shared many journalistic battles with Raul Torres. We worked together for many years, and Raul, I would like to ask you, as a human being, as a journalist, knowing that you are sensitive and always carry a book, what are you reading now?
It has to do with the United States invasion of Mexico.
Ah, this book. So, what do you think about all this? Because some people say, no, no, I even bet for a dinner with someone who says, no, we won't be invaded. He says, we won't be invaded, but you know, I'm not saying we will be invaded, but still I don't rule it out.
Rubén, primero gracias por invitarme y por los recuerdos, por...
Well, first of all, thank you for inviting me and about the question you just asked. Well, I should say, first of all, you know it, I consider you one of my mentors in journalism. You know, I completely agree with you. I don't foresee any immediate scenario where the United States would invade or even send military forces or groups against drug traffickers labeled as terrorists in the short term. However, even though I don't see it happening in the immediate future, it could certainly occur at any moment. I believe that a series of actions and decisions have taken place under President Trump that we wouldn't have anticipated. We never imagined he would exert such pressure. For instance, during his previous administration, telling the Mexican government, I'm going to build a wall and you will pay for it, compelled the Mexican government to first send 28,000 soldiers and National Guard members to the southern border to manage migration. And later over 40,000 across the country in various regions to specifically address migration. And now he's threatening tariffs and such to get them to combat drug trafficking. We can see the government's responses. So I don't see it happening in the short term, but it's something that can't be ruled out because we can expect, it seems to me, almost anything from President Trump.
Me parece casi cualquier cosa con el presidente Trump.
Do you remember that book about distant neighbors written by the New York Times correspondent here in Mexico? And then Lorenzo Mayer, who wrote an article a long time ago, mentioned how it went from distant neighbors to love without barriers because of the free trade agreement. And then Trump came along and slammed his fist on the table. I don't like this agreement.
Let me share two comments with you. First, I have it noted down as I was reading the book by Alan Redding, titled Distant Neighbors. There's a section in it, you see, from 1984. It's been 40 years, yet it discusses issues that are still relevant today. At one point, it mentions that Mexicans are painfully aware that U.S. interventions and now economic dependency have shaped their historical experience. Even back then, it addressed migration and security issues. And now the fight against drug traffickers, who are being treated as terrorists.
Exactly. Let me go to La Paz, Bolivia, with Samuel Cruz. Samuel, you might already know this, and if not, let me see if the production team will help me out by putting up the book by Caspar Weinberger. The book is titled The Next War. It has a prologue by Margaret Thatcher. In that book, written by the former Secretary of Defense under Ronald Reagan, there are scenarios of war involving various countries. Many of those scenarios have already happened. It describes a situation where a populist rises in Mexico, leading to chaos, and then the United States intervenes militarily to protect its interests. It's supposed to be fiction, but coming from a Secretary of Defense with a prologue by Margaret Thatcher, it carries weight. But aside from that book, what do you think?
Pero en fin, al margen de ese libro, ¿tú qué opinas?
Pues para empezar, that nos debería dar miedo quién hizo el prólogo, ¿verdad?
Well, to start with, we should be wary of who wrote the prologue, right? We need to ask the Argentinians. Personally, I don't rule anything out. It's true I share Mr. Rawls' opinion with great respect, that it doesn't seem likely in the immediate future. However, regarding Caspar's book, I believe that fiction, especially in the United States, is a way of hinting at or preparing you for what lies ahead. Personally, I believe it's important to remember that not too long ago, while we didn't experience an invasion like the ones that caused us to lose nearly half of our territory, which we know all too well in Mexico, we shouldn't forget that in 1914, the United States Navy had Veracruz blockaded. So, it's really not that long ago. I understand that many people feel it's a long time, but unfortunately, as I often say with all due respect, the masses tend to think that the most significant day in history is the day they were born. In other words, they don't study history much, and it really isn't that long ago. Just now, you were discussing a book that's 40 years old. 40 years is nothing. It's my age. It's just a little less than my age. We must always remember that plans, for instance, from the United States are typically not made or two with a one-year outlook. They are often designed for centuries. I used to criticize, and still do, some analysts in Mexico who were pleased when the United States seemed to be losing influence in the West Asia. It's not that I feel happy or sad about their diminishing influence in that region. They would say that the U.S. would lose its grip on West Asia and that the empire would come to an end. No, the empire is not going to end. In fact, empires, when they enter a period of decline, usually have at least 400 years, or 300 to 400 years, of existence left. During this decline, they continue to shape and reshape the world. Just look at the history of Rome. And where do you think the United States would turn when it lost influence in West Asia? Obviously, it would revert to a Monroe Doctrine too, and that's exactly what it's doing. Now, those individuals who were happy and laughing, I'm not going to name names, of course, are now criticizing and complaining. But we need to have a bit of awareness, especially among those who operate in major media outlets with large audiences, who later end up backtracking on the things they said.
Reculando, ¿no?, de las cosas que dijeron.
I'm very grateful, and I hope to see you on the next episode of Gringo.
For you to hold my hand.
not your friend. The strength in our hearts could never be rivaled. Broken walls could be built up again. And if you believe, the angels will guide you. Together we will give you strength. Heart of a Muslim, proud to be blood of Islam. Heart of a Muslim, united we will always stand. Heart of a Muslim, I'm proud to be part of Islam. You know, heart of a Muslim. No man is born to be a slave. Life can be hard, I know, but all you need is faith. My soul, my passion, of a thousand men. We speak truth, our fathers will always be there.
Let's recite the Quran.
وَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ جَعَلْنَا بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ حِجَابًا مَسْتُورًا.
القرآن نور وبيان. القرآن هدي الإيمان. القرآن مسك الختام.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Welcome to this edition of Let's Recite the Quran. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. My name is Muhammad, and with me today in the studio, the usual brothers, Brother Ali, Hassan, Hussein, and Masoom. Welcome to you all, brothers, and welcome to this program, dear listeners. Insha'Allah, in this episode of Let's Recite the Quran, we will continue reciting the chapter number 71, Surah Nuh of the Noble Quran, from verse number 12. We finished up until verse number 11. Insha'Allah, from this episode onwards, we will be reciting from verse number 12 of Surah Nuh. I'll ask Brother Ali, without any further ado, to please recite verse number 12 for us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ويمددكم بأموال وبنين ويجعل لكم جنات ويجعل لكم أنهارا.
أحسنتم. A beautiful recitation. Keep in mind that with يمددكم, right? The second dal of يمددكم, which is ساكن, has a qalqala sound. A qalqala basically means that whenever we have qutub, jat, qaf, ta, ba, jim, and dal, any of these letters with sukoon, we give an echoing sound to differentiate from one sound, one letter to the other, because they're very similar letters. They're pronounced very similarly when they have sukoon. So when you're reciting, it shouldn't be wayumdidkum. Yumdidkum. Wayumdidkum.
right? And also at the end of Yom Didikum, can you tell me what ruling is applied for the meme of the last Yom Didikum, the last meme of Yom Didikum?
Yeah, I forgot this.
In your recitation, yes. This is the ikhfa of meme. So we have the ikhfa of noon, whereby whenever noon sakin or tanween comes after, it comes before a mouth letter, we silence the sound of the noon, and what do? We give it a ghunna. Ghunna means a small nasal sound and a small stretch, two counts at max. However, in this case, it's the same ruling, but instead of noon, we have meme. It's less prevalent compared to noon, but then we still have quite a few cases with regards to this. Whenever we have meme followed by any of the mouth letters, what do? We give it a ghunna and silence the sound of meme. And keep in mind that when we're silencing the sound of meme, we are half opening the mouth when reciting meme. Remember, the makhraj, the way of pronouncing meme, is that you have to completely close your lips.
Yes.
But in this case, you keep it a little bit open, right? وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ again, قَلْقَلَ جَنَّاتٍ. What kind of a ruling is applied over here?
We have idgham.
Idgham of noon and waw, correct? So idgham, yes, basically means merging of two letters. When the ruling says that whenever we have noon sakin or a tanween, and after that we have any of the yarmalun letters, ya, ra, mim, waw, lam, and noon, correct? Any of these letters, when they come after noon sakin or tanween, we merge it with the noon, correct? And when we merge it with the noon, what happens? The noon loses its sound, and we basically kind of merge them. So it's in the word itself. Jannatin, originally it was Jannatin wa yaj'al lahum lakum, right? But after the idgham, it becomes Jannatin wa yaj'al lakum. And remember, this is idgham with ghunna. Where do we apply idgham with ghunna, Brother Ali?
When we have yamun letters,
correct. So remember, we said that yarmanun letters, ya, ra, mim, lam, waw, and noon. Any of these letters, we apply, idgham for them. However, for two of those letters, we do not do ghunna.
Yes.
So ra and lam, we avoid doing ghunna.
Yes.
Now ghunna basically means again a nasal sound and a small stretch. جَنَّاتٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا, right? And keep in mind, أَنْهَارًا, the ra is a ra of tafkhim at the end. Rounded mouth and a heavy sound.
وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا.
And give you increase in wealth and children, and provide for you gardens, and provide for you rivers.
Yes. I'll ask Brother Hassan to please recite verse number 13 for us. Brother Hassan, Bismillah.
ما لكم لا ترجون لله وقارا.
Ahsantum, a very beautiful recitation. ترجون وقارا. Right? Now, all of these recitations that I just had with you just now, tarjuna wa qara, all of them are tafkhim. The ra of tarjuna, it's not tarjuna, tar, the ra itself, the sukun ra, tarjuna, right? A rounded mouth and a heavy sound. Wa qara, not waqara. You don't smile or flatten your mouth when reciting tafkhim. You round your mouth and give it a heavy sound. Wa qara, right? So that is verse number 13 of Surah Nuh.
مَا لَكُمْ لَا تَرْجُونَ لِلَّهِ وَقَارًا.
What is the matter with you that you do not attribute to Allah due grandeur?
I'll ask Brother Ma'soom to please recite verses number 14 and 15, because it's a very short verse, verse number 14. I'll ask you to recite both these verses first. Brother Ma'soom.
Yes.
وَقَدْ خَلَقَكُمْ أَطْوَارًا. أَلَمْ تَرَوْا كَيْفَ خَلَقَ اللَّهُ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ طِبَاقًا.
أحسنتم, a very beautiful recitation. وقاد. وقاد. First of all, قاف is a letter of تفخيم, round in mouth and a heavy sound. دال, we apply the rule of قلقل over here, as we mentioned at the beginning of this episode. وقاد, an echoing sound for دال, correct? خلقكم, again, خا and قا, not the لام and كاف. خلقكم. Now this is a very beautiful place to practice تفخيم and ترقيق, because in one word you can have both تفخيم and ترقيق. خلقكم. You see my mouth? خلقكم. You flatten your mouth for لام, and then you flatten for كاف, but then for خا and قا, you make it rounded and heavy. خلقكم أطوارا. Again, أطوارا, the ruling of قلقلة, the echoing sound of طا. أطوارا, again, را is a تفخيم. We apply تفخيم in this case for را. ألم تروا, again, را تفخيم. كيف خلق, خلق, again, خلق. You see that? At the beginning and at the end, at the beginning and the end of the word, we have تفخيم, and in the middle, we have ترقيق. And this is just a three-letter word. خلق. خلق الله. And then we reach the Allah, the word Allah. The word Allah, again, in this case, is تفخيم. The lamb of Allah in the middle is تفخيم. But there are cases where it becomes ترقيق as well. That's why Ra and Lam, the lamb of Allah, they are not considered as the letters of تفخيم. Rather, in situations, they have تفخيم. In this case, we have تفخيم. Allah. Why do we have تفخيم in this case, Brother Masoom? Can you tell us?
Because the word after Allah, it has a fatha.
The word before Allah.
Yeah.
Correct? So the haraka before Allah is important. We look at the haraka. If it's fatha or dhamma, we make تفخيم of the lamb of Allah. خلق الله هو الله. أستغفر الله, أستغفر الله, ضمة, right? But then if there is كسرة before the lamb of Allah, the last حركة before Allah is كسرة, we give ترقيق, we flatten the recitation of lamb of Allah. لله, لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض, خلق الله in this case. سبعة, again, سبع, سبع, سبعة, قلقلة. سماوات طباقا, again, a very beautiful place to practice ترقيق and تفخيم. At the beginning we have طا, which is a letter of تفخيم, and then قا, again in the middle, letter of تفخيم, but in the between we have با, which is ترقيق. طباقا, طباقا, correct.
وقد خلقكم أطوارا.
Well, he has created you in stages.
ألم تروا كيف خلق الله سبع سماوات طباقا.
Do you not consider how Allah has created seven heavens in layers?
I'll ask Brother Hussein to kindly recite the last verse of this episode, verse number 16 of Surah Nuh. Brother Hussein?
Yes. وَجَعَلَ الْقَمَرَ فِيهِنَّ نُورًا وَجَعَلَ الشَّمْسَ سِرَاجًا.
أحسنتم, a very beautiful recitation. Again, at the beginning, الْقَمَرُ, قَمَرُ, قَمَرُ. Ra and Qaf are both تفخيم, but then ميم is ترقيق. وَجَعَلَ الْقَمَرَ, قَمَرَ. And keep in mind, الْقَمَرُ is one of the حُرُوفُ الْقَمَرِ. Qaf is a حُرُوفُ الْقَمَرِ, meaning that the lam of al-qamar will be recited.
Yes.
Correct? It will not go silent, unlike for shamsi letters, for example, ash-shams. It is alif, lam, sheen, meem, and seen, correct, in writing, mm-hmm. Ash-shams. Originally, it would have been al-shams. However, we drop the lam for shamsi letters, and then we give shadda on the first letter of the shamsi. Ash-shams, right? وَجَعَلَ الْقَمَرَ فِيهِنَّ. We do a غُنَّة on noon. Why is that so, Brother Hussein?
Yes.
Why do we do غُنَّة on the فِيهِنَّ, the noon of فِيهِنَّ?
Because here we have تَشْدِيد on noon.
Exactly. This is noon مُشَدَّة. It is a تَشْدِيد. So whenever we have noon with tashdeed, we give it a ghunna. What ruling is applied between the nuran wa ja'ala, Brother Hussein?
It's idgham.
Idgham. Originally, it would have been nuran wa ja'ala, but after the application of idgham, the correct recitation would be nuran wa ja'ala. Correct? Wa ja'ala ash-shamsa siraja. And look at this beauty of this verse. We have both al-qamar and ash-shams in the same verse. Wa ja'ala al-qamara. And then at the end of the verse, wa ja'ala ash-shamsa. Right? So it's a very good verse to practice the huruf al-qamari and huruf al-shamsi.
Wa ja'ala al-qamara feehinna nooran wa ja'ala ash-shamsa siraja.
And made the moon therein a reflected light, and made the sun a burning lamp.
I think we started from verse number 12 in this episode, correct? Let's recite and repeat these verses together once again.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wa yumdidukum bi amwalin wa banina wa yaj'al lakum jannatin wa yaj'al lakum anhara.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ويمددكم بأموال وبنين ويجعل لكم جنات ويجعل لكم أنهارا
ما لكم لا ترجون لله وقارا
ما لكم لا ترجون لله وقارا
وقد خلقكم أطوارا
وقد خلقكم أطوارا
ألم تروا كيف خلق الله سبع سماوات طباقا
ألم تروا كيف خلق الله سبع سماوات طباقا
وجعل القمر فيهن نورا وجعل الشمس سراجا
وجعل القمر فيهن نورا وجعل الشمس سراجا
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
And verse number 16 of this chapter, chapter Nuh, concludes this episode of Let's Recite the Quran. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Let's Recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
صفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable Discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
Welcome to all our listeners. This is Iran Radio from Tehran, and I am Asma, your host for the next hour. Hope you will accompany us into these early hours of this morning. We start this hour's lineup with Q&A on Islamic beliefs. The program provides answers to listeners' questions about Islamic beliefs. The Ocean of Da'a will follow, which gives an explanation of supplications taken from various books such as Mafasih al-Junan and Kamil al-Ziyarat. Our varied radio productions feature will follow at 1:30 a.m. And our final program of this hour is Spring of Truth. The program provides English translations of a selection of statements and speeches by the founding father of the Islamic Revolution, Imam Khomeini. May God bless his soul.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Answering it down some questions and questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Allah, who is Ar-Rahman? Allah, who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illallah.
Please send us your emails through our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum. Well, welcome to another episode of the program Q&A on Islamic beliefs. That is question and answer on Islamic beliefs. I am Atta, the host of this program. Sheikh Karimi is over here from the Islamic House of Qom to answer today's question. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
Are there other humans beside us in other places? I think the producers mean over here, the other planets or something like that. And or do other creatures besides human exist, and has a resurrection ever taken place or not? So even Islamically speaking, sometimes they say that we are born and we were created before in an alam called Alam al-Zahir or something like that. So we were existing, and then we can say we were reborn into this world in our physical birth. So first of all, let's talk a little bit about the presence of the humans beside us in the other world or in the parallel world, maybe, Sheikh.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So sometimes the question is about the past.
Yes.
I mean, are we the only generation of the human beings? Mm-hmm. Or before this generation, there might have been other generations of the human beings. And sometimes the question is about, the same time that we are living in. So if I like to answer the previous question, the first question regarding the past, as I mentioned in the previous program regarding the theory of the Darwin, there are two different theories about Darwinism. Some scholars believe in transformism of